You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Nervous about this, Ivan, doing this. This is the fourth one we've done because we had the doc in from the National Reserve. We had a bit of a preemptive chat with Don and Rex, and then we've had
Andrew Westacott.
Andrew will be put on last, but we've already done three, so this will be slotted in at number three. But this is the fourth one we've done, and Don hasn't been happy at all for the whole day. And I said, we'll just do one more because we've got some sporting topics to discuss. And he said, oh. Don, are you all right to push on?
Well, I'm just looking at this invitation that you've received. Oh, it's a birthday card honouring the pass from Geelong. Why is it that football clubs in Melbourne cannot stick to their original insignia? Now, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 badges or emblems.
Yes.
Hawthorn do exactly the same. The only club that I think that have stayed...
Collingwood?
Well done. It's got the Union Jack, a magpie on a football... with two flags. One is black and white and the other is the Union Jack.
Or the Australian flag?
Is it Australian flag?
Well, the Union Jack, doesn't have the stars.
It's got the stars. And that's something going back way back when we were very nationalistic and our linkages to a link to England and whatever else, and it's stayed like that since Adam was a boy. I don't understand football clubs, why they've got to change their colours or they have different Guernseys, away strips and all the rest. It is just a marketing tool. And here's Geelong and Hawthorn are guilty of exactly the same thing. I don't think there's tradition and we've got to stick with tradition.
Now, Don, I'm trying to get you before you actually completely have enough of the day and you snatch it. Could I just quickly mention that we did ask iCook Foods, Ian Cook from iCook Foods for an update on what's going on because we're not letting this go. Apparently there was a case to be heard on December the 12th, by December the 12th, which has come and gone, hasn't it? It's, what's the day? The
15th, payday.
So that's come and gone. He was going to give us an update because Robert Gottliebson apparently has written a big article, apparently in the Australian or whatever paper he writes for, but we haven't...
On iCook Food.
I think so, but we haven't quite got it. So we haven't forgotten about it, but we just didn't mention it because we didn't get the article. Now, Don. So you've been made, this is sport, you've been made a life member and we've done all that, we've covered all that. And I wanted to, did you know, I was going to ask the doc this when he was on, but we had to truncate our chat. You think I'm making this up? 25,000, and the reason I bring the 25,000 camels, that is, what's a camel called?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Dromedary?
Yeah,
Dromedary. 25 dromedaries, camels, have descended on a region in Abu Dhabi, for Saudi Arabia, for the...
camel racing?
The Super Bowl of camels. It's a beauty contest. Now, I know you think I'm making this up. A couple of the camels owners, a couple of the entrants of the 25,000 have been disqualified because the owners have given them Botox to make the camels look prettier.
Attractive.
They've pumped some of the humps up with air. They've inflated.
They do all of this. They do it with horses over here. They use makeup for horses when they go in the show ring.
Yeah, so, I didn't know that.
You know, they fix up their eyes.
Do the New Zealanders do it to sheep?
Beg your pardon?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's a good question.
We have created a fucking...
He said that the New Zealanders do it to sheep.
Geez.
Someone said...
When's he going back on the mine?
Someone asked one of the... Someone asked a New Zealander, How do you shear your sheep? And he said, we don't shear them, we give them to ourselves. And you know they've been wearing kilts over there, some of the farmers over in New Zealand have been wearing kilts because the sheep have got used to the sound of zippers.
Who's New Zealand's greatest export too, while we're at it? We used to listen to it.
Mutton.
No.
What?
Greatest comedy export.
Darren Hinch.
No.
Yeah, he was a Darren Hinch. Come that's on. True.
Don't
comedy. Fred Dagg.
Fred Dagg.
Yeah, that's it. What was he? John Clark. Oh, he was fantastic.
In the 70s.
Yeah,
Fred
he was
Dagg.
Too. Fred
Dagg.
He was
Dagg. Played on the ABC.
And then they couldn't, because he became politically incorrect, like all those rubbery figures. He couldn't take off accents. You couldn't do anything. So they all bit the dust. Fred now, Don. So I just thought the Super Bowl of camels. So they're cheating over there and they've been disqualified. Could you tell me this, Don and Ivan? Jordan De Goey, they've banned him from training at Collingwood because he's got a court case going on in America. What that has to do with whether Jordan De Goey goes to training or not, because the only people you are penalising if you don't let Jordan De Goey train or, in fact, suspend him from playing football for Collingwood are the fans and the people who subscribe by buying membership tickets. Who are they kidding? If he has belted someone or has got a jail sentence or has been fined in America, what in God's name has that got to do with him not being allowed to train at Collingwood?
Because you've got to make a decision.
You've got to set a precedent, have you, about
what? What's the point of not letting him train? He's found not guilty, so he can come back. Now, Collingwood either say, we're going to clear him, you're too much trouble, or you welcome him back and we just accept him for what he is.
Yes.
Now, what's the... But you've got to be seen to be doing something. This is the whole of our society, and football is just a reflection of society.
Well, so
they've got to be seen to be doing something.
Well, so how about they say, how about someone says...
Collingwood.
Collingwood says, De Goey, we're pending your decision and whether you're going to be charged or have a fine against you or whatever, or a charge upheld... You can train with us, and then when it's the decision is delivered, we'll decide what we do with you. But are you saying if he's one of the top players for Collingwood, they're just going to throw him on the scrap heap because he belted someone over in America? It's a bit like what's going on with the Storm.
I was just going to mention the Storm too. Melbourne Storm. Why are they? You know, for years I thought they were
squeaky clean.
Exactly right. Maybe they flew underneath the radar because they don't receive the publicity, and everything that came out of the Storm was squeaky clean in comparison to their northern counterparts. But now,
every sporting organisation, at the end of a season, gets involved in hijinks, revelry and merriment, a severe amount of drug taking, a severe amount of partying, alcohol, smoke and dope. They all do it. What are we trying to say to... We're saying, we don't condone it, but... You could close down the whole of the Australian sporting organisations and industry if you want to get people to toe some imaginary line that the woke have set for you. I know you've got to set an example, but what example?
Yeah, but as I said, Melbourne Storm's image has been tarnished by these guys, and it's just going to be interesting to see where it goes with them.
So while we're into things about... we mentioned earlier that the... BBC have asked the soccer commentators not to mention pace and power when you're speaking to soccer players of colour because, you know, that's their DNA and that's sort of reverse racism, or it's racism. So do you know there's a tremendous amount of the alphabet genders, the LGBTQ genders and gays, not going over to the Qatar World Cup because... Qatar bans homosexual same-sex relationships.
I don't think they'd be terribly worried about that.
Well, they're not going over.
Yeah, but I don't think it, I don't think that's a difference between a profit and loss.
No. But what I'm saying to you, Don, is that we go on with all this not nonsense. We go on with all this equity and equality and inclusion here and around the world, and we accommodate everyone, and that's fine. And we don't call people strong or pacey because of their people of colour, which has got how you could get offended at that, and yet. Qatar has the biggest sporting event in the world, which is called the World Cup, Soccer Cup, bigger than the Olympics, and they don't welcome the community of gay people and LGBTQ people to come over because it's illegal for their relationships to be part of that country. How do they get the games given to them on that basis? Why don't people complain about that? Do you hear anything about it? If someone, you want a trans athlete to play football or cricket or swimming over here or weightlifting, we jump up and down about it. But no one mentions a thing about over there in Qatar. And
well, over the weekend, I know it's not sport, but ABC, they're promoting women on work sites doing... man who, you know, who's in charge of, a foreman in charge of these workers, he said women good in a managerial capacity but not on the tools. Now that's the same type of thing. They're just pushing an agenda, and it's for female inclusion, and sometimes it's just can't be done.
It's wokeness, Donald.
Well, I don't know where it's going to finish, but...
Have you got any sport that you thought you might like to went to the boxing? Well, we spoke to Rex.
I want to know why... I've forgotten his name.
What sport are we talking about?
Andrew? No, the what boxer. Sport? Boxer. We
Sam Solomon?
No.
Johnny Van Wisser?
John Van Wisser.
Yes.
Why is John Van Wisser boxing? He must be in his 40s.
Well,
late 40s.
Because the man is very fit, and I went and watched him box, and he needs to just, this is in my opinion, he belted the bloke came out. The bloke he fought was built like a brick shit house.
What weights were they?
Heavy. Light heavy or heavy. He was huge. The bloke had seriously, he came out and I thought, he will bend John over and belt the living suitcase out of him. So the bell rang and this guy bounced out and he fell over. It just fell over. And we thought, what? He fell over. And he limped around and as though he'd done his knee or his ankle, and they stopped the round just for a minute. So they didn't disqualify him because everyone looked at him and thought, what did he fall over for?
The undercard?
This was John Van Wisser, the bloke he was fighting.
Yeah, but he's on the undercard.
Yeah, he was on the air. Sam.
How many rounds?
Sam, well, hang on. Sam Solomon was the main card.
Okay.
So John's out there, shaped up, and the bloke just came out and sort of danced towards him and fell over. And I thought, what is this? So he got up, the bloke, big, huge guy from I don't know where he's from, Sunshine or something. And he limped around and then we thought he's done his knee or something, and then he bounced around. And then suddenly he came good and he started bouncing around again, and John came out and they both threw a few haymakers. And I said to John, I didn't say, I'll tell you, just get that jab going and just keep him at bay. And anyhow, about 15, 20 seconds into the round, King hit this bloke and he went down like a sack of shit, this huge man who'd fallen over when the bell rang, and that was the end of the fight. And I thought, that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, when this bloke, the bell rang and he danced out and fell over he did. So Johnny's his first professional fight, and he's King hit this huge man from built like Tarzan, fought like Jane. And so Rex was in there doing the ring announcing, and it was good, Rex. And Sam Solomon, is he a goer? He just won on a points decision.
Over how many rounds?
Split decision over...
10?
I think, yes.
10 rounds. Yes. Jeez, he's getting on a bit.
Anyhow, it was good. And different crowd go to the boxing, let me tell you. But that's all right. Different crowd. We're all different.
I went once to Festival Hall. I can't go again.
We're all different, Don.
When the blood starts spouting.
Too gruesome?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the equestrian crew would go to the boxing and vice versa. I'd like to see some of the people at the boxing ride equestrian horses.
Yeah.
If the horse didn't jump.
Were you standing in the front row?
No, I was sitting up at a table up the back. The back.
But you weren't covered in blood then?
No, I wasn't covered in blood. And we've already spoken about the Grand Prix, what a farce that was. So that was sport, but we've spoken to...
No, it was awesome.
Well, what did you like about the Grand Prix, Max Verstappen being given the championship by default?
Well, no, I didn't like that. Lewis Hamilton should win, but... But no, it's a great circus. I love it. It's every week, so gets me through COVID.
so it wasn't awesome. That's just ridiculous to say it was awesome.
When you think about it, Michael Massey, the Aussie race director, he had to make a split second decision. The laps, 5 laps to go, counting down, and then he's just got to make a call. Some people, either Lewis Hamilton's side's going to be upset or Verstappen side.
So, Don, I know this is not sport, but just if you want to see the way this world is headed, I noticed the Moreland Council. They have decided the vote of 6 to 3 to change the name of the Moreland Council, called Moreland, is associated with a Jamaican slave owner of 150,000 years ago who had slaves, and his name was Moreland, and
I think the property's name was Moreland.
Oh, well, whatever. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was so pathetic, I didn't bother reading it. I just thought that the man's name was Moreland. So the
Is this going to actually cost? There's got to be a cost figure, and who's going to fit the
millions.
Bill?
To change the name?
Who's going
to
foot the bill
you.
For the change? No. I'm not a ratepayer.
You, if you live there, they was going to say, if you're a ratepayer. Okay, it's like and mind you, we had fantastic reaction to Stan Dryden last week. Stan was acquitted himself, not acquitted himself, but we had very good reaction to him and the questions we asked him and all that. So I know that's nothing to do with sport, the Moreland Council, unless the Jamaican slave owner used to be part of sport in some way. But I'd say, honestly and truly, what you've got to do is just nonsense and just get on with your life.
No, it's a vocal minority here, 3. I wonder how many they represent as far as their constituents concerned. So it might be a small number of people wanting this. I cannot believe that they influence the majority.
Well, that's the way the world's headed. The people who shout out the most and become outraged and feigned indignation and contrived solemnity seem to get all the action.
What about the Liberal candidate? Have you been catching up with the state election?
No.
Though they've been endorsing Liberal candidates over the past couple of weeks, and the man that used to be the candidate or the member in Hawthorne got done by the ALP or Labor. His name is Kennedy, and he's the incumbent at the moment. And the fellow who was beaten was John Pesetto. He's standing again, pretty confident he wants to be the Liberal leader in Victoria, and he's not even in yet. No wonder the Libs are where they are. He's got a high opinion of himself, hasn't he? He's got very high ambitions.
Well, aim high, Don.
Aim high.
This is nothing to do with sport either, but here's a question for you. This intrigued me. You remember Pan Am, Pan American Airlines, Pan Am? Mm. How long do you reckon they haven't been in business?
They were still in business.
Well, they're not in business. They went bankrupt. I was staggered by this. I thought, how long do you reckon?
20 years, I'd say. Maybe?
At a stretch, you'd say that, wouldn't you? Yeah. 30 years since Pan Am bit the dust in 1991. Is that 30 years?
Yeah, when did they go bust?
1991.
When was the Lockerbie? That was then?
Yes, that was one of the reasons they went bust, because they were associated with America, Pan America, the terrorists, focused on American Airlines, Pan Am. It was the hallmark of America. And when they bombed Lockerbie, Gaddafi, was it?
Or, it was.
When they bombed the plane, the 747 bombed it out of the air at Lockerbie, people just thought, shit, we won't be flying Pan Am, and bit the dust. And another milestone, what other airline bit the dust this century?
ANA?
Yes, ANSET.
No, ANA, Australian National Airline.
Oh.
They were taken over by ANSET, bought by Reg ANSET, but it was ANA. There was TAA and ANA.
Well, when did ANSET bite the dust?
Oh,
and it got little publicity because of another.
I'd say mid-90s.
It didn't get a lot of publicity because it was overshadowed by a monumental event.
Well, that was a pilot strike.
No, a monumental event, which was
7-Eleven.
7-Eleven, that's a convenience store, Don.
9-11.
Oh, I mean the 9-11.
Yeah, 7-Eleven. I remember going into 7-Eleven and buying some pies and a soda pop in there when the plane flew into the World Trade Center, two of them. So ANSET bit the dust on the 11th, on 9-11, or 11-9 as we would call it, the 11th of the 9th, ANSET bit the dust. So that's 20 years ago. And Pan Am was 30 years ago. So I just tell you that because I was staggered that Pan Am were the trendsetter in airlines. And so there we are. I don't know if you've got any other...
Nothing.
Haven't you got any other sport?
No.
What
do you mean?
Well, anyhow, you've been yawning while I've been doing this. Right. So you've had enough of this today, haven't you?
Yep.
And you've... And I want to have one final...
I know what you're
going to say. The doctor from Sydney said that you should embrace the award you've been given. And the doc, I don't think, was too happy when I...
Is he qualified, the doc?
I don't think the doc was too happy when I argued about cigarette smoke being banned in New Zealand. He said, well, that's my opinion, that's your opinion. And so I don't think we should lock horns with the doc.
No, I don't mind him. He's got an opinion, that
he's
bloke.
Far smarter than us, Don, and we're just cannon fodder for him. Why people keep telling us what we can and can't do has got me. If you want to kill yourself by doing whatever, just do it. And here's another thing. I spoke at a function yesterday. And this is a friend of mine. I won't tell you his name because he probably... He got cancelled off the radio, 3AW. He got cancelled because he told a call-in listener, someone who called in, he said he was having a disagreement. He said, oh, why don't you go and jump in the lake? Just said, you know, go and jump in the lake, meaning fuck off, but he said jump in the lake. He got cancelled because the woke rounded him up and said that he was promoting people to go and commit suicide. And he said, could you believe that? I said, you're not serious. He said, yep, the reason was given. He said, people called in and said that I was inspiring people to go and drown themselves by jumping into water. And because he said that throwaway line, go and jump in the lake. So this is where we're headed, Don. And if you roll over and cop all this nonsense, you'll become part of it. So this is why we choose not to. And we don't have to because we don't get sponsored to do this. And we can say what we like and we will not be told that we have to put up with that crap. Now, is there any other final announcement you'd like to make? Why have you been in a bad mood all day? You have been. Why have you been? Ivan, why has he been in a bad mood?
I have no idea. No, I don't know. Good driving today, so.
Yep. Why?
Good what?
Good driving to the cafe. Yeah.
Told you very I was in safe. A bad mood.
Yeah, why, I said?
Because of that Peninsula Link BP inward bound petrol station who allow people to fill up and go and get a coffee.
So small things.
No, it just irritates me.
Can I bring this up, Don? You might, if you glare at me and say, I don't want you to speak about this, well, I'll take that on face value. But you told me that someone you work with had been to a function. You told me that someone you work with had been to a function, Peter Cracker's Keenan's 70th birthday, where the whole party got COVID and this person who you work, a colleague of yours, was at the function, and you're a man that says, oh, I'm not going out and I'm not going to wear a mask for the rest of my life and I'm going to sit at home, and yet You were working with this person after he was in a COVID room, hadn't been tested, didn't tell you that he had been in a COVID room, and you and you wonder why. I am absolutely bewildered by some of your...
I went and got tested.
Yeah, well, that's 4 days after the event. You could have come here and given it to us.
I know.
Having
I know.
Shouted
you
at us.
No, you get absolutely no argument from me.
Well, so why do you, why don't I say to you, why don't you do this? Why do, oh, I'm not coming up here. I don't want to mix with the public. And yet you're working with the bloke who's...
I know. And that's enough.
Righto. Well, any final... Well, how long are you here for, Ivan? Surely they open the borders,
like
you can go
February,
back.
5th of February.
Oh, no. Yeah, are you here for that long?
Yeah.
All right.
He'll be bigger than big by the time he flies out. Fuck. I can't handle this.
That'll be it.
Well, now... okay, so I don't know how long we're going to do the podcast. So maybe
hit
next
the
week,
button.
Maybe next week, or I don't know if we're going to ever do it again, Don. Because okay, unless your attitude,
come on,
unless
hit the
your
button.
Attitude picks up, Don, I can't go on. I need you to be more ebullient and up. Here we go.